This is Intervention.
A Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens fanfic, written by an author who has orphaned this work. This story is read by
Cantarina
and Rena Jenkins. Summary. What is it with the Skywalker men and Dark Lords anyway? Being one with the Force is interesting, to say the least. You don't always know where you end and someone else begins, and other people's thoughts are always humming at the back of your mind. Padme has been a queen and a senator both, so the feeling of being more than the sum of one's parts isn't exactly new. She even likes it.
But then there's Ben. Brilliant, angry, idiotic Ben, who broke all of their hearts. Anakin lies up long nights in the Netherworld, talking into the dark.
Do you think of... His hands trace patterns in the air. He is 19 and 22 and 46 all at once, but the haunted look in his eyes stays the same. If I'd been there...
No, Annie, Padme says, rolling over in their bed and pressing a finger to his lips. We can't think that way. Whatever would have happened, it didn't, and all the wishing in the world won't change that.
He sighs. But if I told Obi-Wan about my dreams...
No, Annie.
Things get worse. Padme can't manifest in the material world, but she knows that Leia is grieving and Han is gone. Her bright, earnest boy packs up his bags and leaves for a distant planet, as if running away is going to fix anything.
It's completely irresponsible, she says to a sympathetic Rio Tucci. If only he'd turn and face the problem, then...
Rio lays a gentle hand over Padme's own. Go easy on yourself, she says.
I was talking about Luke.
Rio smiles sadly. Are you sure?
She's right. Of course she's right. Rio's hard-earned gravitas and wisdom are at once the best and worst things about her. Padme changes the subject, and the two of them spend the rest of their visit wandering around Rio's traditional Pantagoran garden, discussing the ethical implications of memory-wiping droids.
But the warriors come flooding back afterwards, and Padme doesn't know what to do. She fumes her way through Rylothian meadows and wades across Alderaanian streams. She hunts down Revan and Obi-Wan Kenobi and Shaak-Ti and grills them about Jedi philosophy through the ages. She combs through the archives of 1,000 star systems and still comes up with no solution to the problem of Ben Organa.
That's fine. Padme is always at her best when the traditional guidelines no longer apply.
She is not able to manifest in the physical world, but she's been visiting Leia's dreams since her daughter was a little girl. Ben's mind is a jumble of ultraviolet emotions and open doors, and for a practiced snoop like Padme, it's almost too easy. She picks a night when he's far away from Snoke, and walks right into his latest dream.
The room looks like her grandmother Nabari's house. Chairs are stacked on top of each other beside a scarred wardrobe. There's a slashed-up portrait of Leia in the corner, and on the battered table next to the window, a Dejarik board flickers feebly in and out of existence. Ben sits on a shipping crate. His dark hair hangs lank and greasy around his face.
And he's not alone. There is a creature kneeling beside her grandson, speaking to him in low, earnest tones. Its pale hand rests on Ben's cheek. The boy is shivering, eyes big in his thin face, gazing at the creature as if it holds all the answers in the universe. And...
It bears a passing resemblance to Anakin, provided you were unfamiliar with Anakin's humor and warmth. If, say, you never met the man.
A broom presents itself. Padme brandishes it.
Get out, she says.
Supreme Leader Snoke looks up. Senator Amidala, he says. What an unexpected pleasure.
Oh, no, Padme says, stalking forward. The pleasure's all mine, Supreme Leader, but I'm afraid the time has come for you to leave.
She hits him over the head with the broom. Ben screams. Snoke dissolves, flows away like smoke, and re-manifests beside her.
You know you can't kill me, he says affably.
True, Padme says, and pokes him in the eyes. He yelps, swipes at her. His fingers scrape against her skin like ice. She laughs. I'm dead, Snoke. What did you think that would do?
He snarls, the last vestiges of Anakin fading away, and wraps a hand around her throat. The boy is mine, he hisses.
Don't think about Mustafar. Don't think about Mustafar. Don't. No, she says, although her voice is shaking and she wants to be sick. He's a person, and his name is Ben.
She's had combat training. She knows how to throw a punch. She thinks that being suddenly laid flat on the floor is something of a surprise for Snoke, though. He's so very used to having the upper hand.
But in Ben Organa's cluttered, contradictory mind, the ability to levitate objects is irrelevant. Skill with a humming laser sword is completely useless. No, here it comes down to mere strength of will. And Padmeus has always been considerable. Leave, she tells Snoke. Now.
Snoke scrambles ungracefully to his feet and throws himself at her. She's dead. Has been dead for years now. And is under no obligation to be solid. He tumbles through her and out the other side, hitting the wall with a nasty crunch. Who are you? Ben says. His eyes are glassy, but he looks at her. Padme almost weeps with relief.
Someone who loves you, she says, reaching out for him. Behind her comes the sound of Snoke peeling himself off the floor again. She sighs, withdraws her hand, and turns around to face him.
Snoke is a rattletrap creature of old bone and water lain stagnant for years. Cobwebs flutter in the air around him. He bares his teeth at her. Impressive, Senator, he says.
Ah, the condescension of old men. The one thing she doesn't miss from her days in the Senate. Thank you, she says, but I wasn't waiting for your approval. She's thinking fast now. There must be a door, if only in the most metaphorical sense. There must be a door, because Snoke was not born in the neural pathways of Ben Organa's head. He must have entered somewhere.
She closes her eyes and wills it to appear. What are you doing? Snoke says. He sounds curious and a little amused. He sounds very Palpatine, actually. Padme is concentrating too hard to hate him for it.
The dream world adjusts slightly, and Padme's eyes fly open. Sure enough, there is a narrow door directly behind Snoke. Thank you very much, Ben Organa's subconscious. It's been a long evening, she says mock graciously. Please, Supreme Leader, why don't I show you out?
Snoke's eyes barely have time to widen before she's flying at him, swinging her broom like a bristly staff, and the door is flying open of its own accord, Padme's momentum pushing him through a tangle of spindly legs and threadbare robes. There's an enraged scream, a blinding flash of light, and then she finds the doorknob and pushes it with all her might. The lock clicks. The door dissolves. She stands there in the dusty room, catching her breath. You sent Grandfather away, Ben says, sounding much younger than his 16 years.
That thing, Padme snarls, thoroughly fed up with Force sensitives in general, and Skywalker Man in particular, was not your grandfather.
He'll be back. Ben's eyes are glittering feverishly, his hands clenched at his sides. You're nothing against the power of the dark. He'll be back.
Yes, Padme says, smiling at him. He's a foolish, talented boy, burning with ill-placed resentment. She knows the type. And so will I.
The end.
Had you read the fic before?
I had, but like, a while ago.
I remember she hit him with a broom, but like, I didn't remember like how much that little jab there, she knows the type. And the idea of like, force ghosting in a way that we haven't seen before was really fun.
She's under no obligation to be solid.
Plus, Padme being fierce and ferocious and protective of her family is fantastic.
The best Padme.
Yes, so good. Also smacking things with brooms.
Right, a broom. A broom manifests itself.
Right? The force is your will, right? She just wants something for smacking.